Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to test the new revolutionary refrigerated lavatory for use on very hot planets, to coldly go where no man has gone before. Captain's Albert, Stardate 4692.89, still obsessed with Uhura's bottom. In precisely 2 minutes' time from now...
Jim.
Spock.
Well, actually, it will be precisely 1 minute and 57 seconds from now, since it took you 3 seconds to say, in precisely 2 minutes' time from now.
Ah, in precisely 1 minute and 57 seconds' time from now...
Jim.
Spock.
Well, in fact, it will now be in precisely 1 minute and 37 seconds time from now, since it took me another 20 seconds to interrupt you and say, well, actually, it will be in precisely 1 minute and 57 seconds time from now, and for you to reply, in addition to the 3 seconds it had already taken you in the first place.
Thank you, Spock.
Well, you did ask me to point it out, too, if ever you were inaccurate with regard to time, did you not?
I did, indeed, Spock. In precisely 1 minute and 37 seconds time from now.
Jim.
In precisely 1 minute and 20 seconds time from now, including the time it took us to say what we've already said and the time it is taking for me to say what I'm saying now, provided that it takes me 17 seconds to say it, and provided my Mickey Mouse watch hasn't stopped, and... My apologies. Please forgive my indecision. It's just that ever since last week when Spock said there was no such thing as time travel... I have become obsessed with time itself. Can it really be true what Spock said? Is indeed time totally insignificant?
Yes, time is totally insignificant, Captain.
But how can you be sure, Uhura?
I saw Cliff Richard in it when it was in the West End. It was worse than totally insignificant. It was total turkey.
Spock, what are you... Where's Spock gone?
Permission to speak candidly, Captain.
Permission granted, Mr. Scott.
When Mr. Spock said there was no such thing as time travel, I don't think he really meant it.
Why is that?
Permission to speak in a Scottish accent which keeps lapsing into my native Irish accent, Captain.
Permission granted.
Well, I can at the time yon Spock said it, and one was trying to work out a way to stop our mission being interrupted 5 minutes into the mission. Bejabers.
I see. I'll have to question Spock about this. In the meantime, Scotty, give me your report on the Enterprise's new space exploration capabilities.
Permission to speak about things like dilithium crystals, modified neutron antiforce gravitational sensors, and coordinated seismic parabolic multi-radiational circuits, which all sounds very impressive, but in reality is a meaningless load of codswallop, Captain.
Permission granted.
Before Scotty makes his report, may I interrupt Jim?
Ah, Spock, you're back.
And with an idea which will allow us to complete our mission this week.
You have?
I'd like you to look at these, Jim. I found them on the bridge.
A pair of black puddings?
Believe it or not, Jim, it is these two black puddings which were instrumental in my evolving a plan which will ensure that we are never again interrupted by that radio show.
Two black puddings?
No, it's called Star Turk 2. Two black puddings would be a silly name for a radio show, wouldn't it?
Spock.
Yes?
Don't be such a prat. I meant that it was the black puddings which enabled you to evolve the plan, but how?
Take a close look at this pair of black puddings, Jim. What do they remind you of?
Uhura's bottom. Still, it haunts me. I mean, what did they remind you of, Mr. Spock?
England. And when they reminded me of England, it suddenly dawned on me that the radio show which keeps interrupting our missions comes from England. And therefore, if we were to deliberately allow our mission to be interrupted by a show coming from America, then...
The show coming from England wouldn't be able to interrupt us. Brilliant, Mr. Spock. And now...
We've run into a meteorite storm, Captain.
Mr. Scott, are you all right, Mr. Scott?
A meteorite has just pierced the Enterprise's protective shield and knocked me off the ship's revolutionary new refrigerated lavatory, Captain.
Four meteorites seem to have pierced the Enterprise, too, Captain.
Mr. Sulu, a damage report.
Aye, aye, Captain.
in the High Court today, damages of $70,000.
Damages to the Enterprise, you Oriental pillock.
Our navigational control computer must have been hit, Captain. We can move neither forward nor backward.
Full engine sideways, Mr. Scott. Mr. Scott, did you hear me?
Permission to speak with the trousers on my ankles, Captain.
Permission granted.
Ask Uhura if she can press the purge button.
Lieutenant Uhura?
I'm sorry, Captain. My hands are tied.
What do you mean, your hands are tied?
I mean the Captain's log tied them together. It's a game he's invented. I'm supposed to be a plantation slave, and Captain's log is a plantation owner who becomes my lover after first convincing me that he's made my husband into a eunuch.
How does he do that?
Has anybody seen a pair of black puddings? They are for my lunch. I left them on the bridge.
Ah, Captain's log. Just the man I wanted to see. Good news about my Captain's Albert, Captain's log.
Yes, it is terrific news, isn't it? I mean, you can't use me as your logbook anymore, can you? My entire body is now covered. I mean, there is just no way that you can ever use me as your logbook ever again, because there is nothing for you to write on, is there?
I've arranged for you to have a hump transplant, Captain's log.
A hump transplant?
Dr. McCoy has found the ideal donor. Uhura, be good enough to put up the donor on the video screen, would you?
Aye, Captain.
The bells!
I'm deaf, you know. You are going to give me the Hunchback of Notre Dame's hump, Captain Kirk?
Yes, it should be ideal. You'll be good for at least another 10,000 words with that on your back. So, Captain Zog. Captain Zog, come back here at once.
We've almost used up our 5 minutes, Jim. I found a suitable American TV station for us to tune into.
Very well, Mr. Spock. Tune in.
And a welcome back to Augusta, Georgia, for the concluding round of the United States Masters.
And the ball you see on the green about 6 feet from the flagstick is the golf ball of Bubby Crocker. That was just a fine golf shot Bubby hit in there, Rossi.
A fine shot, Dave.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a fine shot indeed, Dave. A fine shot from a fine golfer and a real nice man.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. In fact, Dave, Bubby is such a real nice man, mm-hmm. and he was recently voted in the locker room poll as the golfer you would most like to be paired with when you're leading going into the last round of one of the majors.
Yeah, Bobby's just so very popular with his fellow professionals, Rossi.
He is. A real nice man, Dave. Married to that lovely Lucinda Crocker, who's a real nice girl.
Yeah, a real nice girl, Rossi. Yeah.
In fact, Bobby and Lucinda are just a real nice couple. Wouldn't you say that, Dave?
The other ball you see on the green is that of tournament leader Larry Mize.
Larry is just one shot ahead of that real nice man, Bobby Crocker. I was just remarking what a real nice couple Bobby and his lovely wife Lucinda make, Dave. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah, Larry Mize has this putt for his birdie here at 14.
Bobby and Lucinda, wouldn't you say that they're just a real nice couple, Dave?
Actually, they're getting a divorce, Rossi.
I didn't know that,
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah, Bobby left Lucinda, Rossi.
Well, Bobby is such a real nice man, but I'm sure that he parted from Lucinda in a real nice way.
He beat up on her, Rossi. He roughed her up some.
I bet he roughed her up in a real nice way.
He blacked both her eyes, Rossi.
Well, I bet they were real nice black eyes, though, Dave. The sort of black eyes Lucinda wouldn't bother too much about having.
Busted her nose, knocked out all her teeth, bruised her all over, and kicked her cute ass to hell and back.
The other ball you see on the green, is that a tournament?
And we'll be returning to the golf from Augusta a little later, when first we'll see current U.S. Open champion Curtis Strange in action, and then Fred Couples, although I'm not sure who he couples with. But now on Grandstand, it's time to turn our attention to soccer, and in particular to striker Darren Walker, who is here in the studio to tell us what he thinks are his team's chances of lifting the FA Cup this year. Darren?
Well, hopefully. I just can't see anything to stop the lads going all the way this year at the end of the day, Des. I mean, we're a much better side than we were last season. No, a much better side. I mean, we're a lot tighter at the back since we signed Dave Swindles. Yeah, Big Dave's made a big difference.
Yes, he seems to compliment John Harkness so well.
Oh, yeah. Big John and him play very well together, don't they? I mean, between them, Big Dave and Big John, they provide such a lot of good balls for Big Joe. Yeah, we should have a very good run this year. We've got the makings of a great side now. I mean, in goal, we got Big Gary, and then got Big Jim and Big Stan in the middle of the park. And up front, we've got Big Joe, very Big Joe, very, very Big Joe, even bigger than that Joe, and biggest than a lot Joe. As well as having Big John and Big Dave at the back. A perfect blend, according to our manager, Big Mill.
And I believe you've just signed a dwarf.
Pardon?
Your manager, Big Mel, has just signed a dwarf.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Little Larry Livermore.
Oh, yeah.
And what role do you see Little Larry fulfilling for you?
Well, I think the idea is to play Big Little Larry up front.
what do you mean, Big Little Larry? He's less than 4 foot tall, man. How on earth can you call someone less than 4 feet big?
Well, he's a tall less than 4 feet.
Ah, you footballers, get right up my nose. Big John, Big Jay, Big this, Big that. Big deal. I mean, look, they call you Big Darren. You're only 5'7". I'm bigger than you are.
Well, it's no need to lose your temper, Big Dennis.
And still on the subject of new signings, I turn out a goalkeeper, Craig Williams, who...
Big Craig.
Big Craig Williams. Big Craig, tell me, how do you feel about your recent transfer to United? Well, because if I'm any judge, I'll bet you feel above, beyond, and down from a satellite of the Earth, which has no air or water and has a hard surface, which is partly covered with dust and pitted with craters and many great plains known as seas.
No.
And which is about a quarter the size of the Earth in diameter, has a mass of about 1/80th of that of the Earth, and moves around the Earth in a definite regular path which we call the lunar orbit.
No.
An orbit which is, in fact, not quite circular, but elliptical, which results in this spheroid, whose days are extremely hot and whose nights are extremely cold, and which travels at an average speed of 3,700 kilometers per hour, being sometimes nearer the Earth than it is on others.
No.
And which takes 27 days and 8 hours to travel once round the Earth.
No, I just feel over the moon about it.
Thank you, Craig.
Big Craig.
Big Craig. And now, the Winter Olympics, and the performances of Eddie the Eagle Edwards, who made such a great success at being a failure at the last Olympics, has already inspired several people to try to emulate or even surpass him in the next Olympics. Notable among them is none other than Prince Edward, who has intimated that he would like to be considered for the men's downhill. Well, actually, it was his father who put Prince Edward's name forward with the words, and I quote, "He should be excellent because the bugger's been going downhill ever since he left Cambridge." Others also hoping to show themselves up dreadfully in their respective events are Lord Denning in the 5,000-metre speed skating and the Henge old-time and modern sequence formation dancing team in the ice hockey. But the favourites to come an exceptionally bad last wearing the British colours must be the new pairs ice skating combination of Cyril Smith and Claire Rayner. Our reporter spoke to them during a break in their training.
Well, Cyril and Claire, that was most impressive.
Yeah. Thank you, lovely.
Thank you.
Yes, Claire, the way Cyril threw you up in the air fully 6 inches and then missed you on the way down should go down very well with the judges, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, was it? Because he's a big lass, is Claire. Takes a bit of getting airborne.
Yeah. The block and tackle must help.
Oh, yes.
turning to part of you, Claire.
Hello.
This ice skating, executing spins, being thrown, it must be a new experience for you.
Oh, no, lovey. I was in a spin and thrown when I was a teenager when my boyfriend threw me for a girl of easier virtue. But one gets over it eventually. You know, the wounds, however deep, heal, even though at the time, lovey, it might seem to you that the end of the world...
Claire! He don't mean that, you daft neighbour. He means spinning round and being thrown up in there. She's a tater.
a tater, yes. Now, you're both very impressive people in your chosen fields, but the question must be asked. Have you impressed anyone on the ice yet?
Oh, indeed. In fact, we've already impressed a judge on the ice.
Oh, in what way?
We fell on him. Flattened him just like it were a pancake.
That's it, Cyril, lovey. That's the only way to deal with tragedy, lovey. Laugh at it, because it will be a brighter day tomorrow. You know, no matter how dark things may appear. I mean, there's an old saying, laugh and the world laughs.
Claire, please. The gentleman hasn't got all day, you know. She's like Shirley Williams on speed when she gets going, isn't she?
Looking ahead to your appearance at the next Olympic Games, what would you say is your biggest fear?
Well, let's see. I think that our biggest fear is the ice breaking. Wouldn't you agree, Claire?
Yes, I would, lovey. But, I mean, somebody has to break the ice, you know. If everybody waited for everybody else to make the first move...
Oh, shut up, woman. She go on, eh? I think I'd rather be in a nest of Thatchers.
No, Cyril. Yeah. In your programme, how many doubles do you have?
Just the one. Double fish, chips, pudding, peas, pie, jumbo sausage, peas and curry sauce. Hey, you're in the slow section of the program to stalk myself up like a big fish.
Which is?
Well, perhaps, Jerry, I can explain it, because I wrote the music especially for it.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, let me tell you all about it, lovey, because it's actually based on birdsong. You see, I live in the country, and one day last spring, I awoke to the usual sound I always hear on awakening.
Sorry, Claire, love. Just my fun.
And hearing the lovely sound of the bird and reflecting on how beautiful it all was, it dawned on me how absolutely perfect something like it would be for my pairs program with Cyril. Because it would be as if instead of being a couple of skaters, we were a pair of tits.
Well, that doesn't need any comment from me, I'm sure. And we'll soon be rejoining Cyril and Claire to actually see them skate. But before that, it's time to go over to the newsroom for the latest news from Moira Plummenemouth.
We present the 17th minute of the show. And this week we have a very special treat for you indeed, because our guest is none other than the world-famous medium Doris Doris. And for our listeners at home, Mrs. Doris is already out in row 3 of our audience. So, it's over to you, Doris.
I'm feeling something. I'm definitely feeling something.
Oh, you get your hands off.
I'm definitely feeling a presence. I'm standing very close to somebody who's connected in some way to the spirit body, who is trying to get through to me. It could be you, sir. Yes, you, sir. Is your name Herbert?
Oh, it's Danny. Danny Seddon. And this is my wife, Fanny.
Fanny, what is she doing, Danny?
She's trying to contact the dead, Fanny.
Oh, we did that once, didn't we, Danny?
Did we?
Yes, you know, that man on the free list at the hospital.
Oh yes, but we didn't know he was dead, did we, Danny? I mean, when we started our visit, he was still alive.
Still alive. But he went so quick, didn't he, Danny?
So quick. 1 minute he was lying there in his oxygen tank. Yeah. And the next minute after we made a hole in it so he could hear us better. He was gone to meet his maker.
Mr. Kipling.
Mr. Kipling. No, not his baker, Fanny, his maker.
Sorry, Danny, I'm not feeling myself.
I know. You've been like that ever since you went to hospital to have
something removed. I'm still getting the name Herbert. You, sir, did you know an Herbert?
Yes, I did.
And this man Herbert, who is now talking to me, is...
Mavis Herbert.
This woman, Mavis Herbert, who is now talking to me loud and clear, is talking about somebody called... John, do you know a John?
No.
She's quite faint. It could be Dawn. Is there a Dawn in your family?
No.
I can only just hear her, but the name she keeps repeating definitely ends in on. Ron, is there a Ron?
No.
Oh, she's describing him. He's tall or short or average. He's fat or thin or normal. And he always wore black or white or coloured shoes.
We've got a dog called Ron.
She's talking about your dog, Ron. Has your dog, Ron, got 4 legs?
Yes.
Yes. She says that your dog, Ron, has got 4 legs. Is Ron a big dog?
Well, quite a big dog,
yes.
Yes,
she says that Ron is quite a big dog. Is Ron a hound?
No.
Yes, she says that Ron isn't a hound.
He's
an old English sheepdog.
Old Labrador we've had for years.
Old English sheepdog, beware of an old English sheepdog, she keeps saying. Tell Ron the Labrador to beware of a distant old English sheepdog, she keeps saying.
Well, they have an old English sheepdog next door.
Tell Ron the Labrador to beware of the distant old English sheepdog that lives next door, she keeps saying.
But he died last week.
Tell Ron the Labrador to beware of the dead distant old English sheepdog that lives next door, she keeps saying.
And went to heaven.
I can hear it barking. I can hear the old English sheepdog that died last week barking. It's barking, it's barking.
Is Mavis saying anything else?
Oh, I can't hear her properly for all the barking. Oh, she's very faint now. She's very faint. Even the barking is faint now. Oh, I'm sorry. They've gone.
A big hand, please, for Doris Doris. Thank you. The lady who remembers the precise day she first started getting voices in her ear, the day she bought her Sony Walkman. And now, over to the newsroom and Moira Plummenemouth, as promised.
Good afternoon.
The kidnapping of industrialist James Moneywell has been referred to the Serious Crime Squad, and the kidnapping of Jimmy Savile has been referred to the far less serious crime squad. And still on the subject of kidnappings, we have just learned that the Honourable Roger Atwood, 15-year-old son of Lord and Lady Atwood, was kidnapped earlier this morning. We now go over to our reporter who is with Lady Atwood at her home in Oxfordshire.
Lady Atwood, when did you first learn that your son Roger had been...
Excuse me. Lady Atwood?
I've got your son Roger here. I'm putting him on. Listen to what he says and listen good. Hello, Mother. It's me, Roger. Listen.
Hello, Mother. It is I, Roger.
Listen carefully, Mother.
Hello, Mother. It is I, Roger.
Hello, Mother. It is I, Roger. Listen carefully.
That's better. Just because we've been kidnapped doesn't mean to say we have to let our grammar fly out of the window, does it?
Listen carefully, Mother. The kidnapper's only given me 10 seconds to say what I have to. And if I don't say it before my time is up, he's going to hit me on the kneecaps with a red brick. But quick, I've only got 10 seconds.
I only have 10 seconds, Roger.
I only have 10.
Roger?
I am unharmed. And the kidnapper is looking after me well.
Well, it doesn't sound to me as though he's looking after you well. Allowing you to say slovenly things like, it's me, and only got 10 seconds, doesn't sound to me as though he's looking after you very well at all, Roger.
He wants me to read this message to you, Mother.
Very well.
This is the message. If you don't agree now to pay me a ransom of £100,000, I am going to break every bone in your son's body one at a time. You have 10 seconds to make your mind up, starting from now.
Roger, not make your mind up. You have 10 seconds to make up your mind, starting from now, Roger.
That's what the note says, Mother. It's not me who's saying make your mind up. It's the kidnapper who's saying it.
You have 10 seconds to make up your mind, starting from now, Roger.
Mother, if you don't agree to pay up within 10 seconds, the kidnapper is going to break every bone in my body. One of...
I'm waiting, Roger.
You have 10 seconds to make up your... This is the kidnapper. I've just broke your son's arm.
I have just broken your son's arm.
I have just broken your son's arm. And if...
Yes, just a moment. There's someone else on the other line. Lady Atwood?
Hello. Is this the Samaritans? I'm out on a ledge.
Is that the Samaritans? Is that the Samaritans? This isn't America, you know, my good man. Nor, for that matter, is it the Samaritans. You must have dialed the wrong number.
Funny woman. I'll try again.
Oh, hello.
What? Who are you? Don't touch me. Keep your hands off me or I'll jump.
Oh, all right. Calm down. Calm down. Got no intention of touching you.
Then why are you reaching out of the window, then?
Well, because I'm going to get out on the ledge to throw myself off, innit?
Oh, yes. Oh, no, you're not, mate. This is my ledge. I was here first. If you want to jump off a ledge, go and find your own. Oi! I said go and find your own ledge.
Well, I'm out on it now, innit? So I might as well stay, mightn't I?
Oh, no, you don't. There's plenty of other ledges you can jump off. Look, there's one over there, see? You go and jump off that one.
No. That one isn't suitable at all.
Why isn't it?
Well, it's too narrow. I might fall off. Besides, it's a nicer view off this ledge. Hey, is that Big Ben over there?
Will you please get off my ledge?
It's not your ledge, in fact.
Look, I was here first.
In fact, it is more my ledge than it is your ledge, if anything, because this is the Majestic Hotel, and I work for them as a minion.
Look.
Oh, it's a bit parky out here, isn't it? I'd have put another pullover on if I know it's going to be as cold as this.
Look, what are you...
I suppose it's what we've been so high up. You know, like Mount Everest. Very cold up there too, I believe.
Look, would you
not
please...
Not that I've ever been up Mount Everest, I think. Well, I've only got 2 weeks holiday at a time, so I don't suppose we make it real. Well, I mean, my youngest is only 4.
Would you please get off this ledge?
Would you like a Minto?
You...
What have you knocked him out of my hand for? Ooh. Oh, look.
What?
Down there, look. It's a crowd collecting, see? Ah, just a minute.
Oi! Don't try to stop me. I'm going to jump.
What do you think you're doing?
Well, I'm calling to the crowd, innit? Telling them I'm going to jump.
That's my crowd.
Your crowd? What do you mean it's your crowd?
I mean it's my crowd. My crowd has taken me half an hour to get that lot, so hands off.
Some have joined the crowd since I got
here. Oh, no, they haven't. There's 12 of them.
They have?
The same as there were when you got here. And I know there was 12 of them because I just counted them. Because I remember thinking to myself, I'll let them get to 15 and then I'll pretend to slip.
Oh, are you going to do that too? Oh, I'm going to pretend to slip and all. It's good when that happens, isn't it? I saw that in a film. I just thought...
Yeah, you sort of lose your footing and then the crowd go...
Oh, they go... Hey, I'm thinking of teetering too. Teetering, you know. Looking down and then pretending I'm going to overbalance and plummet to the ground.
Yes, I usually do that as well. I hang on by my fingertips. Yeah. And,
book, will you please get off my ledge?
No.
Very well. I shall find another ledge. Get back in through the window so I can get back in.
Ah, no fear. If I do that, you'll stay out here, won't you? You use the next window along. Go on, they won't mind. It's only the hotel cocktail bar.
You're a damn nuisance.
There you are, sir. One screwdriver.
Oh, thank you, my love. Be quiet in here. Why? Hello there.
Hello.
Fancy bumping into you.
Yes. Fancy.
You must be, just a minute. You don't remember me, do you?
What? Oh, yes, of course I do. Of course I remember you.
What's my name, then?
Name?
John?
John, yes, of course, yes. John.
Bernard John.
Bernard John, yeah. So, how are you keeping, Bernard?
Yeah, but nobody ever uses my proper first name. Everybody calls me Spike.
Oh, of course, yes. No, I remember Spike. How are you, Spike?
Great. Oh, and you must give my regards to your wife.
Oh, yes, I will.
Our wives went to school together, remember?
Oh, yes, I remember.
How's your wife, incidentally?
Oh, fine. How's your wife?
She's still dead.
I mean that your wife had died.
Yeah, but you went to her funeral.
I did? Oh, I did! Oh, of course I did.
It was August 1984.
I know, yes, I remember. I remember, because all the leaves were just beginning to turn brown.
No, what am I saying? Silly me, it was April 1984.
Some of the leaves were beginning to turn brown. Not many, though, because it was only April.
Yes, it was a beautiful April morning.
Yes, I remember it well.
After the funeral, we all went back to my place.
Yes, I remember.
We had a few drinks, then everybody went home, except you.
Yes, I remember. I remember it well.
And you and I sat and talked for hours.
I remember us talking for hours.
And then you borrowed £50 off me.
I remember. I remember borrowing £50 off you.
So when are you going to pay me back?
What?
The £50 you owe me. When are you going to pay me back?
Right now, of course, I'm going to pay you back right now.
you didn't mind me reminding you.
No, I haven't forgotten. No, there you are then. There's £50.
Oh, cheers.
Right. I'll be off then.
Yes, see you again then. Oh, and thanks again.
Yes. See you.
But who was that?
I don't know. I've never seen him before in my life. Double screwdriver, please.
You have been listening to Star Trek 2, starring Christopher Godwin, Jeffrey Holland, Susie Blake, and Fred Harris.
Escucharon ustedes Star Trek 2 con la colaboración de Christopher Granada, Jeffrey Torremolinos, Susie Benidorm, and Fred Hasta-la-Vista.
The show was written by Terry Ravenscroft
and Lodo de Toro por Terry Ravenscroft
and produced by Martin Fisher.
Y producción por Martini, Inquisition after the show, Fisher. Thank you.